coming to you from the bottom of Lake Agassiz. Welcome to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Dougler. For more than a decade, actually, pretty soon we'll be knocking on 15 years of the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. And I have to say I'm fortunate. I'm blessed, very blessed, especially when we get to this Christmas time of year, as just to be that bridge. That's what I see myself as, being a bridge to the outdoors for the hunters, anglers, trappers, conservation people, the birders. It's the Christmas bird count today in our backyard, Grand Forks on Sunday, and bringing the outdoors to life. And I will be the first to tell you, and many of my friends, my lifelong friends, and my neighbors will agree that I am not a profound hunter and angler. I love the outdoors. I have grown up in the outdoors. If you're new to the program, I am a biologist for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I started my career as a game warden in Botno and moved to West Fargo. I've lived in North Dakota my entire life. Places from Williston to Lemoore to Valley City, Bismarck, Stanley, Botno, Cullum, McKenzie, and probably a few other spots in between there. So I've got a good grasp on North Dakota. And I grew up all across the outdoors of North Dakota and still enjoy it. But I've never branded this program or myself as being able to tell you this is how you set up to catch a limit of pike or walleye, the biggest catfish. This is the decoy spread for the best field hunting mallards you're ever going to find. I'm not that guy. On this program, I enjoy bringing in the experts. Greg Power is the Fisheries Division Chief for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, to give you some insight into the management and the biology of what we enjoy when we go fishing and we go hunting. With ice fishing season open and upon us, I thought it only relevant to talk with the Chief of the Fisheries Division for the North Dakota Game and Fish. Greg, let's start the conversation off, Greg, with maybe your thoughts on access and fishing this winter.
Sure. Well, safety, this time of the year, safety is critical. The ice is thin. People don't want to push it too much. You know, take your time. You know, certainly by Christmas time, you're driving on about everywhere. The other thing about access to the lake, fishing, ice fishing can be phenomenal. And the last couple winters, we've had very good winters, but they've also been very open. Our fish populations have never been better, but we have to have access to the ice. When the snow comes early, that's problematic. And then if you go back, if you recall, 3, 4, and 5 winters ago, 3 years in a row, we had a lot of snowpack on the lakes, and it really cut into ice fishing, you know, throughout the entire winter. In general, in North Dakota, about 25% of all the fishing that goes on is ice fishing. So, you know, it's pretty popular, and about 40% of everybody that does fish during the course of the year will ice fish. So, again, and that popularity has been growing because of all the new lakes.
Sure.
But we got to have the ice. We're building ice, you know, so far this late fall, early winter, we're building ice real nice. What we don't want is a big snowstorm to come, though.
Even with the very strong cold snap to start December that we had in much of North Dakota, Greg, there's no such thing as 100% safe ice. And we always, I shouldn't say always, I don't want to jinx it. I'll take that back. But unfortunately, we do hear of situations, tragedies and potential tragedies and averted tragedies from anglers pushing it just a little too much early in the season.
Devil's Lake used to be the place that you'd always have issues. And thankfully, at Devil's Lake, last 20 years, it's gotten a lot better. But you got to be careful.
North Dakota Game and Fish Department Fisheries Division Chief Greg Power with an ice fishing preview or an ice fishing update. Depends how much you've been out there. Let's look at it species by species. Let's dig into it, Greg Power, and start off with walleye.
At walleye, we're at a record number of lakes. And again, if anybody has fished walleye the last couple of years, They know whether it's Devil's Lake, Stump Lake, Audubon, it doesn't matter. But there's also all kinds of new walleye lakes in the state. Okay. And the nice thing about ice fishing is they're a lot more accessible. Some of these small lakes we don't even have boat ramps to, for example. So mm-hmm. it's a little bit tougher in open water. Ice fishing, as long as it's an open winter again, you should have access to most all these lakes. And there's a lot of opportunity out there we're not talking 4 or 5 pound walleye, but we're talking really nice eater too.
A couple of years ago, a lot of these fish were the 10, 11 inchers, and now we're talking 13, 14, 15 inch eater size.
Well, they are, and some of the lakes, south central North Dakota, basically the eastern two thirds of the state, we've found that some of these new lakes, you go stock walleye in there, they have a real strong fathead minnow population.
Sure.
They are, their growth is phenomenal. So in just a couple of years, we're getting walleye up to 16-17. In 2 years, we're getting up to 16-17 inches.
We're talking ice fishing, fish populations, species by species, and hard not to smile when you hear northern pike.
Yeah, pike, it's a state fish. It's still probably underutilized, it very much so right now, underutilized fish species. When you have good perch fisheries, good walleye fisheries, people tend to home in on those things and forget about the pike, but we have so many lakes, well over 200 lakes statewide with phenomenal pike fisheries that some of them are totally unexploited, and you can catch, in just district lakes, you can catch 8 to maybe 10 pound pike. That's really, really outstanding. And then you expand it to the big waters, like a pipe stem or a darling, Devil's Lake, or certainly in the Missouri River system, where you can have 20 plus pound pike. We've never had so many pike in the state. We raised the limit last year to 5, from 3 to 5 statewide. And we've heard a few people utilizing that. We'd like to see even more people do that.
Greg Power is the Fisheries Division Chief for your North Dakota Game and Fish Department. The pike population probably never been better. As I've said many times and others will attest to, this isn't something that I coined. These are the good old days for pike. These are the good old days for fishing. It's really maybe never been this good, and quite honestly, maybe never will be this good. With such an abundance of pike, the limit being raised, pike spearing lakes being opened up to include everything with exceptions, where it started off initially as just these individual lakes, now the tables have turned because the pike population is so strong. Has that transferred into more interest in spearing? Greg Power answers that question when we return for the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear, a former game warden and current biologist for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Greg Power is the chief of the fisheries division for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. We're talking about ice fishing, maybe not so much of a preview, but a fisheries assessment from the chief of the fisheries division for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. And as Greg mentioned earlier in the program, if you missed it, it's a podcast at kfgo.com, where he mentioned how strong the walleye population has grown and the record abundance of northern pike. Greg, I want to ask you about spearfishing and the popularity and the interest in spearing, if we've seen that expand with the growth and the health of the pike population.
Oh, it has. Probably the biggest thing is last winter, so this will be the second winter, this upcoming winter, but we increased basically statewide, all but the Muskie Lakes and Red River. Basically every lake in the state otherwise is open to pike spearing, darkhaul spearing. In this last winter, we saw a record number of participants, somewhere around 2,600 people. And we estimated about 4,000 days of fishing, about 18,000 pike were speared last winter.
We've talked about walleye, we've talked about pike, and perch populations have really, really exploded across the prairies. Maybe I'm a little bit partial when I look at south central and southeastern North Dakota with the abundance of perch lakes, perch sloughs that are, some of them literally just a slough, a few hundred acres that are kicking out meals of fresh fish on a regular basis throughout the winter, Greg.
Right. Well, perch, there's a lot of interest. It's funny, that's one species in the summer. The interest with perch are so-so, but when it comes to winter, people target them, non-resident and resident. And we have, like you said, we have a lot of new perch lakes. We're going through our second boom on the perch. This boom probably won't be quite what the one we experienced 10 to 15 years ago, but it's very good. There's a lot of good perch fisheries out there. Yeah.
He's Greg Power. I'm Doug Lear. You're listening to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And Greg is the Fisheries Division Chief for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, talking about ice fishing, fish populations across North Dakota, and a recent issue of North Dakota Outdoors Magazine. And it's available free at the Game and Fish Department website. This is no secret, but really focused on sleeper lakes, underutilized lakes across North Dakota. And it's like that list could continue to grow, because there's places and nooks and crannies that are just, I won't say begging to be fished, but they're really, really strong, healthy, and providing excellent, excellent opportunities.
They are. Basically, they fell into two categories, either big waters that just don't get a lot of effort in the winter for one reason or the other. In some cases, I don't know if the public even knows there's fish in them, and that was a goal. Or in some cases, they're really lakes that have real strong, whatever, walleye, perch, whatever populations, but they're shallow and really prone to winter kill, so we'd rather people get out after them sooner than later. We'd rather see the fish in the bucket than dead on shore with the winter kill.
We shift our focus from perch and stay in the panfish. Let's talk crappie, Greg.
Crappie, North Dakota. We're not a crappie state. I think everybody knows that. We only have a handful of quality crappie lakes. Of course, Pipestem and at times Jamestown are two of the best known ones. There's a few other ones. They're so dependent on a strong year class, and they're unlike bluegill or perch. They're not like the other panfish. They're very slow growing. So to get crappie up to quality size, it takes a lot of winters to get through. Thus, you know, we'll get winter kill so often in our lakes. Crappie have to be in lakes that, you know, can get through winter after winter after winter. But we do have a few lakes scattered across the state, and it seems like there's been a little bit more interest the last few years with crappie.
Sticking with bluegill. Now, I am a bluegill aficionado. I shouldn't even say. I enjoy catching bluegills because I love going out to Castleton Reservoir and watching the cork pop with the kids. I've done that for years, and I'll continue to do that. But it's not like the bluegill capital of North Dakota.
No, and of course, you know, our bluegill lake, I think about everybody that bluegill fishes in North Dakota knows that the quality bluegill lake is Metegoshi.
Sure.
And again, we're not, you know, we do so much better with pike, perch, and walleye than we do with bluegill and crappie. It's just the water chemistry in North Dakota. But we have a handful of bluegill lakes, especially in the western part of the state, that are people go out there and, again, the last few years seem to be catching more and bigger fish.
We've covered about all the species that we really should spend a lot of time on. Greg Power is the Fisheries Division Chief for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Greg, as we wrap up our conversation, let's talk about some of the rules and regulations. There are some subtle differences, not a total different set of rules and regulations that you're dealing with from summer open water fishing to winter through the ice fishing, but there are some differences, Greg.
Well, it's, you know, you can use four lines. I mean, that's the biggest thing. That change came about 20 years ago. So summer, you can only use two lines, open water and two lines. But ice fishing can have four lines. So that gives you a little bit more mobility. And if the bite's slow, you know, it gives you more time to move around. But otherwise, you know, the limits are the same. There really isn't a lot of difference in the winter and summer fishing. But The bait issue, that's something to be, it's the same as the summer, but you can take your minnows in a 5 gallon bucket or any container, 5 gallons or smaller. So that's the same as what you see in the summer.
Bait fish can be transported, but live game fish cannot be transported. Explain that.
Well, that issue or that change came about a few years ago and affects everybody. Summer fishing doesn't matter. You can move your bait in, again, a container 5 gallons or less, but you cannot transport game fish. Let's say you caught some walleye or perch or something. You can't transport them in water, summer or winter. So you got to throw them in the cooler or whatever. And the whole idea behind that, again, is ANS, aquatic nuisance species.
Sure.
It's a biota transfer. The potential, if we made it legal, the potential, most people would not, but there's potential for some illegal activities, moving water and other critters in that water that you don't see with the naked eye, you know, into a new water body. So it's something to give us a little prevention from the spread of ANS. And there is actually a process. If you want to do that, there is a legal process to go about and contact the department, but that would be illegal.
Bottom line, Greg, when you get down to it, should be another great winter of ice fishing in North Dakota.
Again, if it stays open, the critical thing to maintaining the fisheries we've had is Mother Nature and the water that we've had. And we're going into winter in pretty, with this, you know, the late summer and fall rains, we're going into winter in pretty good shape. The worst thing that can happen, not just for access, but also for the health of that fishery, is that early snow that comes early and stays all winter. So, you know, winter kill, the chances of that can go up dramatically. Again, so far so good this winter.
He's the chief of the Fisheries Division for your North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Greg Power, appreciate his time and his insight for ice fishing in North Dakota. Coming up next on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, Pat Stocktill with a Central Dakota Outdoors Report. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. Just ahead is Pat Stocktill with a Central Dakota Outdoors Report. And then we wrap things up each weekend with a look at the Minnesota outdoors with CJ Johnson, with a little trip around the lakes region of Minnesota as well. With ice fishing really stealing a lot of the spotlight this time of year compared to the wind down of the hunting seasons. I'm going to run through some of the winter fishing regulations, but also understand that I'm still getting some very good late season rooster reports across South Central and Southeastern North Dakota. And I don't really technically advocate the negative connotation of road hunting, but if you put road hunting aside and go for a drive, you might be surprised at what you see out there with some of the wind-blown corn fields, exposed corn, drawing in roosters during the daytime for a little bit of feeding, and the sunshine of earlier this week helping open up some of that. The sun's still got some power, folks. The days are going to start getting longer right now as we speak. That's one of the good news. As winter feels like it's been here forever, realistically, winter arrived. For my backyard of West Fargo, North Dakota, it was December 1st. I can remember it when we went from November 30th, my wife and I went for a walk, November 30th, after supper. It was chilly that Saturday evening. It was like 25 degrees. It was chilly, but the roads weren't icy. There wasn't snow, and we went for a walk. And all throughout November, we continually tell ourselves how blessed we are that we can go for a walk after supper. And that all changed on December 1st. I think we've been for one or two walks since then. My point is that winter arrived in grand fashion, cold and snow. It arrived even earlier in southwestern North Dakota. The Tuesday, Wednesday before before pheasant season opened up, the first week in October. And There's still some decent hunting opportunities that have been out there. If we have an open December, it gets a lot more attention. But there's been some pretty good rooster reports. Let's take a quick check on the North Dakota Outdoors with Pat Stocktill, and I'll come back and bring a little refresher on some winter ice fishing regulations. Pat Stocktill is a regular feature on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. You read her work in Minnesota Outdoor News, Dakota Country Magazine, and a lot of other places, but she also provides us with her take on the outdoors across central North Dakota. Pat, what's cooking outdoors this Christmas time of year?
Welcome to the Central Dakota Outdoors Report, a look at fishing and outdoor activities throughout eastern North Dakota and the Missouri River system. Merry Christmas, everyone! Holiday anglers will find continued good walleye and perch success on Devil's Lake. Try Creel Bay, Black Tiger Bay, the Towers area, Stromy's Addition, or the west side of the Minnewaukan Flats for perch. Locate structure throughout much of the lake for walleye. The lake still has access, but it is gaining some snow cover. The water is clear enough, so dark house spearing is underway for northern pike. And there's lots of activity and success continuing on Lake Irvin. Over on Jamestown Reservoir, we're finding good numbers of anglers on the ice with good success for small walleye. Access remains okay on the reservoir as well. Anglers are starting to move houses onto Lake Ashtabula, with most congregating in the areas where there's the best access. Some areas of the lake do have snow, so watch for the potential of slush beneath it. Perch and walleye success continues throughout many southeastern and south central lakes using a variety of presentations, anything from simple hook and minnow, buckshot rattling spoons, or dropper rigs tipped with wax minnows. Minnow heads are producing as well. However, there doesn't seem to be any real pattern, and maybe it's because of the inconsistent weather. The best bite typically starts right before sunrise, tapering off during the day, and improving again before sunset. Try areas off the mid-range depths near transition zones of drop-offs in sloughs and reservoir channels. Pike continue hitting walleye rigs or tip-ups with smelt, and even deer steak chunks. Barnes, Lemoore, and McIntosh area sloughs had better reports, but Richland, Sargent, and Ransom County anglers had some pretty good reports as well. Farther west, Lake Audubon is the place to be, with anglers finding fair to good perch and walleye success throughout much of the lake. Watch the areas for springs, though. A few anglers are venturing onto east end back bays of Lake Sakakawea, but it's early yet. The Van Hook Arm also has activity around the islands, but there again, watch ice, because depth varies. Lake Darling, northwest of Minot, has some perch and walleye success around Landing 3 and the Grano area. We're winding down with hunting season, but please try to take some time to spend outdoors with family, friends, and your favorite hunting dog. End of report.
Appreciate that report, Pat Sockdal, with a Central Dakota Outdoors report. Each weekend here on the Mighty 790 KFGO, I mentioned some common winter fishing regulations with the holiday season and friends or family traveling here. Maybe you don't ice fish and they're coming here and they want to go ice fishing. Get your license online at the Game and Fish Department website. It's quick and it's easy. You can buy it electronically 24/7, print it off, keep a PDF file of it on your phone. Anglers ages 16 and older need to have a fishing license. And our winter fishing regulations are a little bit different than the summer. You can have four poles while you're ice fishing. You can have four through the ice, two through the open water. There's no restriction on the size of the hole while you're ice fishing. And when you catch a fish, we don't allow high grading. You've got to decide at that time if you want to release the fish back into the water. You can't keep it. And then if you catch a bigger one, put that one back down the hole. You can't transport fish in water back to your house, so to speak. You can't leave fish or bait behind on the ice. Just basically keep things cleaned up. You don't need to have any litter out there. And any dressed fish, if you're going to transport them, if you're spending some time out on the ice, a daily limit of fish is from midnight to midnight. And no person can possess more than one day's limit while actively engaged in fishing. So if you go out in a sleeper ice shack and spend a couple of days out there, you can't have a possession limit of fish out there on the ice while you're actively engaged in fishing. So get your fishing license, head outdoors. Merry Christmas to all of those that are here. I don't apologize for saying Merry Christmas. I know I sure don't, never have, and never will. You're listening to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And welcome back to the last shot for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. Just a couple of minutes here, we're going to connect with CJ Johnson with a Minnesota Outdoors report and give you a little better idea of the fishing activity across Minnesota. And before we do that, an update that Minnesota wolf season in the Northeast region has been closed. They break it down into quotas in Minnesota. They've got a statewide quota, then they've got sub-quotas. And the Northeast zone had a target of 33 wolves, and they've met that quota. So they went ahead and they shut down the wolf season in the Northeast. The Northwest has a harvest quota of 52 wolves, and the East Central zone has a harvest quota of 2. Those are for their late season. And here's the reason why we bring it up is not like there's as many wolf hunters as there are duck hunters and pheasant hunters and deer hunters. Similar to why we bring you the updates on mountain lion hunting in North Dakota. Part of it's news for the people that hunt and trap. Part of it is also extremely interesting because these are apex top-end predators. And until just a few years ago, last year was the first wolf season in Minnesota. And I think it's been 6 or 7 years that we've had a legal mountain lion season in North Dakota. So on several different levels, number one, when it's an apex predator, mountain lion, wolf, even people that don't hunt are interested. And I'm not saying just because they're anti-hunters or anti-trappers, but there's an interest in the people that go out there and intentionally call, stalk, seek mountain lions, or go out and trap wolves. It's top end versus top end, man versus wolf, man versus mountain lion. So that's the other part of why we bring you a lot of more updates on wolves and mountain lions than we do on sharp-tailed grouse. Isn't that interesting? We've got a lot more sharp-tailed grouse hunted and a lot more sharp-tailed grouse hunters. Same goes for ruffed grouse in Minnesota. We break down the season statistics, the preseason prognostications, but with wolves and mountain lions, we're constantly bringing you the updates. So that's where it stands in Minnesota with the latest from their wolf season. Now let's shift our focus east of the Red River and get an update from the outdoors of Minnesota. And we call on our good friend, a regular feature on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, is CJ Johnson, a Lisbon, North Dakota native, and spent his career covering the outdoors for Minnesota. And we connect with him each week to get a little better handle, a little better of assessment on the outdoor activities across the lakes region of Minnesota. CJ, thanks for joining us. How's things looking outdoors in Minnesota this week?
Well, really good, Doug. Off and on, however, in areas, because as you know, this winter has been thawing one day and freezing the next day, and that kind of creates a little bit of a mess, as you'll hear here as we go through some of these fishing reports. Delaney's over in Park Rapids, they're reporting 8 to 12 inches of ice on the small lakes, 6 to 8 inches on the bigger bodies of water, and the walleyes are continuing to hit in about 14 to 20 feet. Panfish action has been a bit slow in the Park Rapids area, but there are a few bluegills coming in 12 to 14 feet. Again, watch the ice. Snow is really heavy, and that's kind of like a heating blanket for ice when it comes to wintertime and fishing. Well, Paul Nelson over in Bemidji says anglers are still waiting for that ice condition to improve up there. Temperatures below zero will eventually have an impact on the slush. There's a lot of it, but it takes a long time when there's as much snow as there is on the lakes as well. Resorts in the upper Red Lake area, though, and Lake of the Woods are also trying to get roads onto the lakes, and that should help the ice freeze as soon as they get some of the snow out of the way. So if you're fishing in those areas and, again, closer to the shores, fishing is good, but make sure you know where you are and what kind of ice you're on. Well, in the Lake Mille Lacs area, Terry's Boat Harbor up there is reporting some resorts have up to 10 inches of ice close to the shore, and especially in the bays of Mille Lacs Lake. There's a lot less ice and a lot more slush, however, further out, so no travel of any kind recommended on the main lake of Lake Mille Lacs. Now, west side, they have some people walking out into Garrison Bay and catching some northern pike along the weed lines of Mille Lacs. Greg over at the Nisswa Guide League reports that the majority of lakes in the Brainerd-Nisswa area have about 7 inches of ice, but the thinner ice is being found in the main parts, like all across the state of most of the big lakes in the Brainerd area. Walleyes and crappies are hitting 20 to 24 feet, especially on Round Lake. Now look over to Steamboat Bay and Wilson Bay on Gull Lake for crappies and walleyes. and they're down about 20 feet over there. In the Grand Rapids area, Ben's Mate up there says most of the lakes have 5 to 7 inches of ice. There is slush, again, under the snow. Main portion of Lake Pokegama is producing walleyes. In the evening, mainly, they're down about 25 feet, however. And Tioga Bay on Pokegama is kicking out some bluegills and crappies, 13 to 27 feet down. And you can hit Lake Wabana for walleyes in about 17 feet of water. Rebecca Arch in Detroit Lakes reports Detroit Lakes ice steps vary from 10 to 14 inches. And there's very little slush right now on the area lakes in DL. So look for Deadshot Bay for walleyes and crappies. They're down about 20 feet. Sunfish, 12 to 14 feet, are hanging there. And Little Detroit Lake is producing some panfish and northern pike down about 12 feet. Big Detroit giving up some walleye, down about 18 feet right about now. Well, Doug, it looks, took me quite a while to realize something, but a long time ago, somebody said, clothes make the man. And I finally came to that conclusion over the years when I noticed that nature people really don't have any influence on society. Remember, the fishing's always great. It's a catching we got to work on.
And that holds true in Ransom County as well as Ramsey County, right, CJ?
It does indeed, for sure. I tried it once trying to influence Main Street, but all I did was get arrested.
Great stuff. We appreciate your access, your insights, your updates, and the humor as well. Thanks so much. Have yourself a Merry Christmas. We appreciate your updates, CJ.
Same to you and all your listeners, Doug.
Well, that was the last hole to drill for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live. A big Christmas thank you goes out to Bob Harris. He's the executive producer of the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Couldn't do it without Bob. Check out our blog at kfjoe.com, the Outdoors Live blog, and the show is podcast. Thanks to Bob Harris for podcasting this program as well. So we wish you and yours a very, very Merry Christmas, and we will catch you right back here next week. And until next time, I'm Doug Lear, reminding you, as always, keep your lines tight and your powder dry. Have a great one out there.